Dr. John Paul, along with Evangelist Minister Linda from Life Saving Ministries. We want to welcome you back to our study in spiritual mountain climbing. We will continue with the Gospel of Matthew and focus on chapter 5, verse 8, which relates to the Beatitudes when Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount. The topic today is centered around, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." First, let us begin in prayer. Our most precious and gracious Heavenly Father, we want to praise and glorify you today with honor, worship, and thanksgiving. You're worthy, O Lord, to receive our praise as you are holy. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with your favor and forgiving us of our sins. We are unworthy, but your love continues to cover us and surround each of us every day. Thank you, Lord, for this rich blessing and bounding love that you continue to give us, each and every one of us who believe in you. Now enrich us with your word. Give us a deep understanding as we study your divinely inspired word. We ask this in Jesus' blessed and holy name. Amen. As we open up our study of God's word today, we're looking closely at Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, which states that the one is blessed, provided happiness and joy in living a life with a pure heart. But what did Jesus mean when he spoke this specific passage of Scripture? Jesus does not say that we can come to him with sinless perfection, for one cannot approach the Lord God without the covering of the blood of Christ over them. What he does say is that one should live a life of integrity, which demonstrates an inward motive and an outward manner of being pure at heart. Psalms 24, 4 through 5 gives us another scripture that will help us understand what this means. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and the righteousness from God of his salvation. Now let's break this down even a little further. He that hath is expounded by Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Isaiah 33:15 through 16 also says, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Micah 6:8 also tells us, he hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and he that doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. To have clean hands is explained more clearly in Job 22:30. He shall deliver the alien of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thy hands. To have a pure heart is magnified in Psalms 73:1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19a and 21 through 22 also says, let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, which is love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. As one can see from these scriptures, God desires each one, every one of us, to depart from evil and iniquity and to pursue him as believers with holiness. To be used by and for God and be useful to the Lord for noble purposes is one who cleanses himself from unrighteousness. To cleanse oneself means to completely clean out or completely purge all that is impure and unworthy to be used for noble purposes. The old man must be left behind. And the new man that has come by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ must vigorously cleanse themselves of the past, their sins, and remove all filth from their lives. Those who continue to live in dishonor and associate with anyone who teaches anything against the ways of the Lord must be removed from their lives. It's the Apostle Paul who wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 through 13, that one must purge themselves of evil filth and the old way of life and to disassociate with those who are. Starting with verse 9, I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs to out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that's even called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one do not eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. To approach the Lord God with clean hands and a pure heart, one must disassociate with the immoral. Paul goes on to say in verses 9 and 10, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Did you realize that if you make any attempt to destroy anyone with words, which is called a reviler, then you're guilty of a sin and will not enter into the kingdom of heaven? But there is a way for one to live with clean hands and a pure heart. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 6:11 and says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Please take note, not everyone has been guilty of the above mentioned sins. However, every Christian is equally an ex-sinner, which Jesus Christ came to save all sinners, Matthew 9:13, Romans 5:20. So what one must remember and be careful of is to not fall back into the old ways from which they came. It is our job as Christians to desire to live with clean hands and a pure heart, and we must remind those who fall away to go back into living the old pattern life that they will not enter the kingdom of God. If one does go back and live in the old pattern life, they were never really saved at all. That comes out of 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The word washed refers to one who's been cleansed with spiritual cleansing and regeneration and now lives a new life in Jesus Christ. To be sanctified means one has to be transformed from the old man into a new man through the shed blood of the Christ on the cross. One's life has been transformed by what Christ has done for us and produces a new life patterned after him. This means one becomes holy and is obedient to Christ as their master and savior. Justified means that one's been given a new standing before God. For the true, honest, sincere believer has been transformed, clothed in righteousness, and all past, present, and future sins have been put behind them because they've been put to Christ's account. That's right. A believer's sins have been covered by Christ's shed blood from the cross, and they're no longer held accountable for them as long as they live a holy and clean life through God's grace and by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, what does the latter part of our scripture mean when it says, for they shall see God? Let's look at Hebrews 12:14, 1 John 3:23, and Revelation 22:4. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. 1 John 3:2-4, and he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Notice, we know him. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Revelation 22:4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. When we are truly saved and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made holy through the blood covering of Christ. No unglorified person can look on God and live. However, those who are residents of heaven, who've been truly saved, can look on God's face without harm because they are made holy. John 1:18, 1 Timothy 6:16, 1 John 3:2. The question that we leave with you today is, are you truly saved? And know for sure you're saved. Have you come to Christ as your Lord and Savior and desire to live with clean hands and a pure heart? If not, I pray that you'll come to know Christ today and know Him as your personal Savior. We're also looking for airwave missionaries. Only a dollar a day, $30 a month, will suffice for what we need to keep this message on the air and serve God by presenting the gospel message. That's just $30 or any amount that you might have. Send it to Life Saving Ministries, Post Office Box 2164, Tallahassee, Florida 32316. Now, as we close out this first segment of the study, let's listen to a message by sisters as they present I'm Gonna Make It.
Through so many dangers and toils of this life, I have already come. But He keeps on giving the grace and the strength to just keep pressing on. He's given a promise, and I'm gonna stand on every word His holy word said, and holding His hand, I'll never fear whatever lies ahead. I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it. Intentions I've had, sometimes my strength can fail. Though I have tried the very best that I could, my weaknesses prevail. But then I remember the promise He made, that in my weakness He is strong, and that's when I know whatever may come, His steady hand will lead me on. And I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would.
I'm Minister Linda, along with Dr. John Paul, and today we're talking about purity. Psalm 34 is a great psalm that talks about the divine ownership, the citizens of His spiritual kingdom, and the King of Glory. Starts out by saying, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas, established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob." Lift up your hands and your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. He grants us access through a pure heart into sacred places. He imputes us with his righteousness, which gives us the ability to become pure. But this requires truthfulness and his imputed righteousness. And being a seeker, seeking the word consistency, inconsistency, and with constancy. Being sincere and revere the Almighty Sovereign God. It is God who has all power. We must submit and commit ourselves unto him. The purity of a Christian requires clean hands and a pure heart. One who's not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." Charity is the true agape unconditional love, which reaches out with unlimited forgiveness and forbearing, long-suffering, and compassion. And it says with a good conscience. It means a conscience that has been purged from all evil, all vain imaginations, and that the motives and intent of the heart is the wellspring of life, for it operates in the living truth, the Word of God. And faith unfeigned, it means undying, everlasting faith until the end. That means placing all your hope, faith, trust, and belief in Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." The Word of God also says, if you have not the love of the brethren in your heart, you have not the love of God. God wants to purify us and bring us into a state of holiness and sanctification, which is a daily progression of being cleansed. Psalm 51:11 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We must be purified in order to lead the spotless life. Job 11:15 says, "For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shall not fear." Song of Solomon 4:7 says, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." If you're to be the bride of Christ, there must be no spot. You must come pure and holy unto the foot of the cross. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. James 1:27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." 2 Peter 3:14 says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless, holy and blameless unto the end." In order to do that, we must separate ourselves from all evil association. This is a Christian's duty, and it is commanded by God. Isaiah 52:11 says, "Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, but be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." John 15:19 says, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You must make a choice whom you will serve. Will you serve mammon and the world with a carnal mind, or will you serve the Lord with pure hands and a clean heart? Acts 2:40 says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generations." That can also be found in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." We have a job to be a watchman on the wall. And when we know there is a lost and dying soul, we are to carry the word and shine the light that they might come out of the darkness. This will require reproving through loving kindness and by giving the word of God. The word of God will not return void, but it will do the what it is set out to do. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us." We must beware of sinful imitations and unworldliness, that we not be drawn into the entrapment and entombment of sin. We are climbing daily to a life of purity. We must seek the word of God. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." The reason this is such a great command is the word purifies the life. Psalm 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." John 15:3 says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." John 17:17 is a command that says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." This is a commandment from God. We are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. We are to purify our life for him. The word of God is a mighty influence. It's a devouring flame. Jeremiah 5:14 says, "Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." The word must go before us. It is a crushing hammer. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, a life-giving force?" Ezekiel 37:7 says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." The word is a saving power, defensive weapon, and a probing instrument. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We are to purify the motives and intents of our heart, and we are to walk with pure heart and clean hands in the name of Jesus. We are going to continue our mountain climbing. I pray that you will continue to seek the word diligently, become a discerner of the word. As we finish out, the Gaither Vocal Band's going to present to us, "Yes, I Know." Do you know Jesus? And are you purifying?
Lost and lonely, Jesus
loves. Our program today is brought to you by Berean Christian Fellowship Church, located 6214 Blunstown Highway here in Tallahassee. Everyone welcomes you to their Sunday services, and prayer times begin at 9 o'clock, Sunday school at 9:30, and church at 10:30. Services are now in session, as well as Wednesday night cell groups with young adults meeting at 6:30 p.m. They offer special benevolence assistance and farm share on Thursdays from 11:30 to 1:30. Don't forget to join them at 10:30 on their Tuesday Bible study. God bless. Have a good day.